טוב, יסתי ודיד דף נון בית. We talked about the matraskin, the suffix with it has kedusha, kelifnim o kelchutz, and where that suffix comes from. Then we talked about how the Kohen Gadol crosses, sorry, how he enters the Kodesh Kodeshim. We discussed the Kneza of the Aaron, and how he does the Tzvirah of the Ketoret. Okay, so we talked about Nogim al-Aleph, Tana Baran. Okay, so Pasuk in Avodat Yom Kippurim, he has to put the Ketoret on the fire, Lifnei Hashem. What does Lifnei Hashem mean? Shelo yitekem yibachutz yechnis. He should not first burn the Ketoret, and then, that is, put the Ketoret on the Machtav Gechelim, and then walk into the Kodesh Hashem, when there's already smoke around him. Lo tzim yibash al tzedokim, shomim yitekem yibachutz yechnis. The Tzadokim really did say that. They said, no, you have to start the fire outside and have the Anan Ketoret and then enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. So we say, no, you have to, with the Resh Lifnei Hashem, you do the burning inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. My Darush, what did the Tzadokim learn from Tzadokim? Ki Banan Nera La Kaporet, Menemet Shetkenim Bechutz Vechnis. Right? The Pasuk says, the Shekhinah will only come when there's a cloud of Ketoret. So in essence of this, you only have to enter the Kodesh Kodeshim after you have a cloud of Ketoret. So you have to first burn the Ketoret and then enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. And what are Chachamim? V'lo kvar ne'emar v'netat Ketoret al'esh lifnei Hashem. But the pasuk we started with says, you have to burn the Ketoret lifnei Hashem, inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. Im ken matem l'mar ki v'nan n'ere l'kaporet. So what do they learn from the Sata Pasuk? Menemet shetem b'mal ashan. It teaches that you have to add an extra herb called mal ashan, which we learned about it in the second paragraph. We're talking about people of the Shvach Rignai. And we said, Mishpachat Vitavtina, so the experts on making the Ketoret, knew how to identify this special Ma'ale Ashan, which causes the smoke to rise up straight. Okay, the Gemara later asked for only two sources for the same din. Okay, so what exactly is the argument between the Tzadokim and the Purushim? I hear this from Rav Khan, I'm not sure if it's the name of Soloveitchik, presumably the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that the Haktarat Ketoret of Yom Kippur is a matir to enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. So Tzadokim say, okay, if I need a matir to enter the Kodesh Kodeshim, you have to first burn the Ketoret and then enter the Kodesh Kodeshim. Right? What's the logic? The cloud of Ketoret has to block your vision of the Aron, of the Evin Ashtia, of whatever's inside the Kodesh Kodeshim. The Purushim say, no. The Ketoret isn't for me to avoid seeing the Aron, it's for me to avoid seeing the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah will only come down after I burn the Ketoret. So you first enter the Kodesh Kodeshim, then you burn the Ketoret, that's your matir to enter, and then the Shekhinah comes down in the cloud of Ketoret. Fine. So why would we need to say that if you don't have Ma'ale Ashan, and you burn the Ketoret, your Chayav Mita for burning Ketoret with no Ma'ale Ashan, your Chayav Mita for a different reason. If you enter the Kodesh Kodeshim without the proper prerequisites of burning the Ketoret, then it's considered a Be'ar Kanit. It's entering the Kodesh Kodeshim for no reason, and your Chayav Mita for that. It's a case where, mibchinat ha'isur of entering Yehoshogeg, you didn't know, you forgot, whatever. But you knew that you're not allowed to burn Ketoret with no Ma'ale Ashan, and you did anyways, and that's Nazid, and you chayav mita for that, but not for the Bi'ah, which was Beshogeg. The case is that you enter the Kodesh Hashim with two Ketoret of Ketoret, one that was perfect, and one that was missing Ma'ale Ashan. So you're not chayav for entering the Kodesh Hashim because there was proper Ketoret. But the second Ketoret you burned that was missing Ma'ale Ashan, you have mita for that. Right? Why do we need a pasuk of v'chisa if we had the first pasuk v'natan Ketoret al ha'esh? Sorry, if we had the first pasuk ki banan ne'era l'kaporet. Why do we need two pasukim teach you that you need Ma'ale Ashan? Amavos l'chachi k'amar, en li ela ale Ma'ale Ashan, ikar Ma'ale Ashan minayin. The first pasuk taught me that I need the leaf of Ma'ale Ashan. How do I know that I need also the root? The bright says it's the other way around. If you put in the root of Ma'ale Ashan in the Ketoret, it will cause the smoke to rise up straight as a stick. Until it reaches the roof. Hashem Zabait, Ashan. And once it reaches the roof, it spreads out across the roof, and then it starts creeping down the walls as smoke does. And that way, the entire Kodesh Hashim is filled with the smoke of the Ketoret. And that's the requirement. So we see here that the main part of the Malei Ashan is the root. So if I just had one pasuk, I would need the root, not the leaf. So by really, flipsy says one pasuk taught you the ikar, and the second pasuk taught you the ale. Rashi says, "Namar eni ela ohi moed sheba midbar shelo v'tol meminayin timod v'kisa." Rashi says, "I need two pasukim. The first pasuk teaches me I need Malei Ashan in the ohel moed in the midbar, and the second pasuk teaches me that this din is also true in the Mishkan Shilo and in the Beit Hamikdash." So Gemara says, "We learn from somewhere else. Hi mi v'chen aselo ohel moed hashochen itam nafka." Right, we learn that from the fact that the Torah says you do it in Ol Moed HaShochen Itam. Wherever there's Shechina, be it Ol Moed or the Mishkan of Shiloh or the Beit Mikdash, you need to do this din of Malei Ashan. One pasuk teaches you that you need Malei Ashan on Yom Kippur, and that teaches you that you need it all year round. That was our third answer. Fourth answer, Rav Ashi Amar, Chad Mitzvah Chad Akev. One teaches you that it's a mitzvah that Malei Ashan, and second teaches you that it's also Makev if you did it. Rav Amar, Chad Le'onosh V'chad Le'azhara. Right, Rava says one is the isur and one is the punishment of the isur. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar omer v'lo yamut onesh ki b'anei azara. Rabbi Elazar also says that one pasuk is onesh and one azara, but not, he doesn't say it. Up to now, we're talking about two different pasukim. One is ki b'anei ra l'kaporet, which is pasuk gimel bet, and the other pasuk is v'natan etekot al ha'esh v'chisa, and that's pasuk yud gimel. Rabbi Elazar says in the pasuk bet itself, you can learn from two parts of pasuk the onesh azara. V'lo yamut onesh ki b'anan ra'e azara. Yechol yu shneim amurim kodem mitad bnei Aaron. Maybe the isur to burn ketoret with no Malei Ashan was recited before mot nadav aviyu. The mudmar achrimot shneim bnei Aaron. Right, the parshia of achrimot is said after, chronologically in the Torah, is said after mot bnei Aaron. Okay, so the pshat is the isur and the onesh of Malei Ashan is all after mitat bnei Aaron. Now, when we're back from the fact that it says that God will be seen on the kaporet, that he has yet to be seen when this was said. And the story of David, who is that Yarad, the Shekhinah, did descend upon the Ol Moed, and they burned their ketoret anyways. So clearly, when the pasuk says, you have to add the Malei Ashan because that will cause me kibanan era'e ala kaporet in the future. It has yet to happen. In other words, it was said before mot nadav avihu. Haketzad azra kodem mitav onesh achar mita mitav onesh achar. Right. So the prohibition of Malei Ashan was said before mot nadav avihu. The onesh was said later. Mita Talmuda amra v'amarka kibanan era'e v'adan nere. Okay, that's what Rashi just explained. If we say the punishment had yet to be said at the time of Dav Avihu, so what were they punished for, if not for Malei Ashan? They were punished for saying a halacha in Moshe's place. The permission known as Mure Halacha Bifnei Rabo. My darush, what was the halacha they said? Even though fire descends from heaven, we have to add fire from our own, and that really is the halacha. But they were not allowed to be morei halacha b'fnei rabban, and that's why they were punished. Fine. So next part of the Mishnah, yitzar uvalo derech knesato. After the morning Torah, he then walks backwards the way he came, but he does not turn around. They have to walk backwards. Amar b'shmuel b'achman amar b'yotan amarka vayavo shlomo lebama asher b'givon Yerushalayim. Shlomo came to the Bama that was in. So the Gemara asks, "If you're mentioning Givon to Yerushalayim, why are you mentioning Jerusalem? He came to Givon. Who cares that he came from Yerushalayim?" Ela mekish tzitzol migivon Yerushalayim leviato Yerushalayim migivon. Leaving Givon for Yerushalayim is the same. There's a hekesh between coming from Yerushalayim to Givon to returning from Givon to Yerushalayim. Ma beato Yerushalayim migivon panav klavei Bama kederch beato. I tzitzol migivon Yerushalayim panav klavei Bama kederch beato. Just like when you come from Yerushalayim to Givon, you're facing towards Givon because you want to face the Bama. Lashem. So too, when you're leaving, you have to continue facing the Baal Hashem. He has to go backwards. Also, Kohanim, when they work in the Mikdash, or the Levim, when they're singing on the Duchan, or Shel, when they're in the Mikdash for the purpose of the Ma'amad. They would not walk backwards, they would turn the first kind of sideways, and that's how they would leave the Mikdash. And this is, of course, with the Minhag, when you leave the hotel, or just shuls in general, to walk backwards out of respect. This din is not only true for Mekomot Kedushim, it's also true for holy people. A Talmid who has to respect his Rav should not turn around, he should turn kind of sideways. When Rabbi Lazar wanted to leave Rabbi Yochanan, so there are two situations. If Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was leaving, so Rabbi Lazar would bow respectfully until Rabbi Lazar leaves, and he can no longer. When Rabbi Yochanan wanted to leave, Rabbi Lazar would bow respectfully until he could no longer see Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Lezer wanted to leave Rabbi Yochanan's presence, he would walk backwards until he could no longer see Rabbi Yochanan. Rava, when Rava wanted to leave Rabbi Yosef's presence, he would walk backwards. He would walk backwards and he would not pay attention to where he was going, and his feet and heels would get cut up, and the entire doorstep of Rabbi Yosef was filled with blood. So they explained to Rav Yosef, who was blind, what Rav had done. So Rav Yosef blessed him for this great midah, that to hear a tone that your head will be raised above the entire city. The Mefreshim explained that this means that halacha will be like him, even, and that's why halacha is machok tabai v'rav, halacha k'rava. Okay, so if you talk about leaving presence, we now talk about leaving the presence of the Shekhinah. At the end of the Shemona Esrei of the Amidah, you have to walk 3 steps backwards and then say, why 3 steps? That is, you're leaving the presence of the Shekhinah. Why 3 steps? There are lots of explanations. One is connected to the 3 milim that Bnei Israel witnessed in Har Sinai, or the 3 masachim Moshe had to enter in Har Sinai, or connected to the malachim. The explanation I'm most connected with is that you have to leave the presence of Shekhinah, and Shekhinah is the alamot. Right, so if you're in the center, that's 2 amot in each direction, you have to walk 3 steps backwards to leave those 2 amot of Shekhinah. Interesting, the Nafkamina is, even the Rama says, even if you're on a horse, you have to take a horse backwards. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, if you're in a wheelchair, you have to roll the wheelchair backwards the distance of 3 steps. After you take 3 steps backwards, you have to stay there. Can I get all those people who take 3 steps backwards and then immediately walk forwards? Why do you have to stay where you end up? If you respectfully take 3 steps back and immediately walk back forwards, so you've undone the walking backwards. Just like a dog who throws something up, which means that he doesn't want it, and then he comes back to it and starts nibbling at it, which means he does want it. So you take 3 steps backwards, you have to stay where you are and not take 3 steps forwards, because that undoes the going backwards. And if you didn't take 3 steps backwards, that reflects on your entire davening, that it wasn't done properly, and it was better if you hadn't davened. You have to first bow right and then left. Right, when Moshe Rabbeinu, he carried the luchot in his right hand. On your left you kill 1,000 demons, and on your right you kill 10,000. So the right is superior. Maybe Moshe carried the luchot in his right hands because it was comfortable, not because the right is more important. Okay, so the second pasuk teaches you that the right is more important, so you start with the right. Story time. Rava chazil Abaye, davay yahiv shalom aleimina v'reisha. So Rava saw Abaye at the end of Shemoneh Esrei bowing to the right first, because that's what the writer said. Amar le misavot leimin didach, lismol didach ka'amina. Sorry, misavot leimin didach, do you think the writer meant you have to bow on to your right? Lismol didach ka'amina, it has to be your left. Right, if you're facing Hashem, so his right side is your left side. You have to start with bowing left and then right, as we do nowadays. He saw them taking all 3 steps backwards in a single kriya, when they were stooped. After the Kohen Gadol walks backwards out of the Kodesh Kodashim, he's now in the Echal, and he says a short prayer. My Masai, what was the prayer? Rav Arada v'Ravin v'Ravada Taravai v'Shmid Rav Amri Yezov v'Derech Hashem Kenu Shet Shana Zot Kshuma u'Shchuna. Let this year be rainy and sunny. Shchuna Maluti, is that a good thing that it's sunny and hot? Ela Ema Im Shchuna Tek Shuma. He says if it's supposed to be sunny, so no, make it rainy instead, right? Because rain is good for the fields, and Israel is a country where, unlike Egypt where they had the Nile, we are very dependent on rainwater. So he prays for rain. Rav Acha Bridei Rav Masayimba Mishmid Rav Yuda, he added some extra bits of the tefillah. Lo Ya'adei Avid Sultan Mid Beit Yehuda, let the rulership never leave the Shevet of Yehuda. V'lo Yom Chai Yisrael Tzichin Fanes Zezeh, and let Bnei Yisrael be rich enough that they will not have to give each other money. V'lo Tekes Averes V'ador Ovei Drachim, and let the prayers of travelers who obviously pray for there to be no rain so they can have an easy travel not be accepted by you, so that there will be rain for everyone else who needs it for the fields. And all kinds of discussions. Why is the first bracha in Aramit? The Gemara says you can't pray in Aramit. The angels doesn't understand it. So if they say that maybe the Kohen Gadol doesn't need angels because the Kohen Gadol, okay, all kinds of nice vortim on that subject. Rabbi Chanan ben Dosa, havaka azil be'ocha. So the story about Rabbi Chanan ben Dosa, who we know from other stories was very pious and had a very good relationship with God. He was traveling. Shadamit ralei, and it was raining. Amar ribono shel olam, kol olam kulo benachat v'chinen v'tzar. What, the whole world is enjoying the rain for the fields, and I'm discomforted. Pasak mitra, so the rain stopped. Katalavete, when he reached home and he no longer needed the, he didn't mind the rain anymore. Amar Rabbi Shlomo Olam, Kol Olam Kulo B'Tzar V'Chinen V'Nachat, Ata Mitra. Said what? Is it fair that the entire world is suffering that they have the rain and I'm not, because he was so poor he had no field? So the rain came back. Amar Yosef, Maya Hanya Litzot the Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Chanan Dosa. The prayer of the Kohen Gadol is meaning is worth nothing. When it's up against Rabbi Chanan ben Dosa. Tana Banan, Masai Abba Kohen Gadol, Sheherich Betfilato. He was davening more than he should have. He didn't say this Tfilat Ktara, he was saying lots of other things. But Imnu Chav Kohanim Kenes, and the Kohanim outside were worried, and they took a vote, and decided to go in and see if he was had survived the Akhtarat Ktoret. Etchilu Hin Nichasim, they started entering, and oh, he came out. Amu Lo, Mipnei Ma Herach Betfilatcha, why are we taking so long? What is it hard? Is it? Are you not happy about the fact that I was praying for you and for the Beit Mikdash to last? Should not be. Should not do this frequently. Because we have a source that says you should not pray for a long time because that will worry the people outside. Fine. Right, in Beit Shani, there was no Aron in the Kodesh Kodashim, so you can't put the Ketoret between the two Badim of the Aron, because there was no Aron. Even at Hashem, Mimot Nevi'im Mushnim, V'shtei HaTaniket, there was Even HaShtia, there from an early period. Gavon Minah Shor Shetot, V'le'enoten, it was three fingers breadth width high, and that's where you would put the Ketoret. And some say that's the rock, in terms of the rock, that is still there today. Natal et Adam Mishu Memares. Oh, what a, as we learned a long time ago in the previous parak, after he shechted the Parim Kippurim, he then gave the blood to someone to mix it, and then the Kohen Gadol went to get the Gechalim, and then he went to get the Ketoret, and then he entered the Koshim with the Ketoret and the Gechalim, and he put them together, and he left, and now he can finally go take the blood and start dealing with the blood. So what does he do with the blood? Nichas Mekom Sheichas, Vemad Mekom Shemad. He re-enters the Kodesh Kodashim in the same way he did before. He stands again where he stood with the Ketoret between the Badim or opposite the Even Ashtia. Veizam Yimeno. And he sprinkled the blood of the Par. Achat Lemala, Veshev Lemata. One upwards, seven downwards. Velo Yemit Given Azot Lo Lemala Lemata. It's not that he was trying to aim at the top of the Aron and the bottom of the Aron or something. Like Kama Slif, he was just kind of whipping his finger forwards so that the eight drops fell out in a row. As we do nowadays in our davening, and then we'll explain why. Yetzah, he leaves the Kodesh Kodashim, walking backwards, and he put the kli full of blood on a special pedestal in the Echal for this purpose. And then they brought in the Seir, right? We had the pair of Seirim, Seir Lashem and Seir Lazel. So now we bring the Seir Lashem. Shchato, shechte, the kibir mizak demo, and he receives the blood. Vechaz b'gom shenchah, samar b'gom shmad. Vezam menochad emar v'shem emata v'chulei. Kach monechad v'chad v'shtechad v'stein v'chulei. He repeats the entire process he did with the ampar. He does the same thing with the ampeir, seir. He sprinkles it up and down. Eit hazot zachkol, goes back out. Yatza, v'nichol kan zahav hashini shebechal. The second pestle, one was for the par, and one was for the dam of the seir. Rabbi Domer lo yesham belekan echad. No, there's only one pedestal. So what we have to do? Natal dam apar v'nech dam asir. So first you pick up dam apar, and then you put down dam asir on that same pedestal that's now empty. V'zam meno al parochet shekneged aron. So you throw the blood again, but this time not inside the kodesh kodashim, rather outside the kodesh kodashim v'neichal on the parochet itself. Echad emal v'chashev v'mata v'lo mitkemen v'chulei, kach emal v'chulei, same process. Natal dam asir v'nech dam apar. You switch between dam asir and dam apar. Repeat this process again with dam seir. Ira dam par l'toch dam seir, v'natan tam le berkan. And then you mix them. You pour the dam par in the seir, and then back from the seir into the par. So in summary, you had four hazot. You threw the par inside the kodesh kodashim, then the seir inside the kodesh kodashim, then the par in the parochet, and then the seir in the parochet, and all the hazot were done in the same manner. Okay, so the Gemara. The Mishnah does not say that there was every nashtia that was in use from when the Aron was nignaz, but rather from when it was nital. This seems to contradict what we said in the previous Gemara. So this Mishnah follows the opinion that the Aron was not nignaz; it wasn't hidden away by Yeshayahu, rather it was taken into Galut Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar. The Tanya Rebbe Zomer Aron galal Bavel shemar v'shvat shana shlachem v'lechem v'chazar v'leo Bavela im klei chemdat bet Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar took it. רב השם בן יוחאי אומר, ארון גלה בבל שמר, לא יוותר דבר אמר השם. אלו קצת הדברות שבו. He learns from different sources that says nothing will remain of דבר השם. דבר השם is the עשרת הדברות, and the ארון, the whole ארון was taken away. רבי יהודה אומר, ארון במקומו נגנז, רבי יהודה is says no, it was hidden away. In the מקדש, נאמר, ויראו ראשי עבדים מן הקודש של פני הדביר, ולא יראו חוץ ויהיו שם עד היום הזה. They are still there until this very day. This very day is, even nowadays, is still hidden away. ופליגד אולה, דאמרו לה, שאל, רמתי מנחרה שדבו ישום מנוחאי ברומי. וכי מאחר שבלזמן מלמדים פעם ושנה ושנייה ארון, גלה לבבל. חד אמרן, ולי הבבל, עם כלי חמדת את השם, שנייה, מהי? דכתיב, ויצא בציון, כל הדרה, מה כל הדרה, חדרה. אתה, מה אתה אומר? Right? That was a bit long. רמתי מנחרה said, if we have two sources that say that the ארון was גולה, one was a pasuk we had before, הבנו ברוך הנצר. A second is, ויצא מבציון, כל הדרה, and הדרה means חדרה. Which means everything in the Chedr Chadrim, everything in Kodesh Kodeshim was taken out. So why do we also need Rabbi Shimon Yochai's source? Amar lo shani omer, romi kumo nignaz, shema v'ruchu ad abadim. Alright, so Rabbi Shimon Yochai responds, I say it was hidden. You could have said it was, no. Tough. It seems to be that here Rashbi says that it was nignaz and not taken away to Bavel.